Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Sean, a very, very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us bright and early. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard. Good, thank you. How are you?
I am good, thank you. So in September 2001, thousands of NGOs gathered at the UN conference in against racism in Durban, South Africa. And, of course, we know what happened there. It was a virulently anti-Semitic proceedings, and they launched the strategy there to legitimize, to delegitimize Israel. It's now 20 years later. And this policy and the strategy is still being used. Give us some context here.
Yes. So it's not only September 2001 that is success, that is significant when it comes to anti-Israel activism. Much of the anti-Zionist world, if you want to call it that, or in fact, anti-Semitism again, and that's directed against the idea of a Jewish homeland, can go back to the very founding of the modern Zionist movement, where Jews finally decided to found their own homeland. And if we go back even to the late 1920s and the early 1930s, much of the world at the time was ambivalent to the idea of a Jewish state. And in fact, within the Arab world, there was an anti-Jewish boycott. They didn't pretend, they didn't hide the fact that they were anti-Semites. They didn't call it anti-Zionism. The idea was to wipe out a Jewish state, removed Jews before a state was established. And when the Jewish state was established, when Israel was established in 1948, and the Arab states attacked, and much of the world again shrugged with a bit of ambivalence, the idea was to continue fighting against Israel as a Jewish state militarily. When this finally failed in the 70s, the switch changed, and much of the anti-Israel world switched to fighting diplomatically. And we were hoping that in the 1990s, when we started the peace process, that this would end. It seemed to stop for a short period of time. But behind the scenes, much of the anti-Israel world, in fact, countering anti-Semitism, were preparing a new wave of anti-Israel and anti-Semitic international campaigning. And that took on a new life in September 2001, when the United Nations was supposed to organize a conference against racism, but it became a conference against Israel that included blatant anti-Semitism.
Do you think that this was a policy or it was just opportunistic?
I think it was a policy that found a good opportunity in the United Nations. I'll give you, I'm going to quote the late Rabbi Sachs here, who said that anti-Semitism is a disease, a fatal disease. And like many fatal diseases, it is constantly mutating. Once upon a time, us Jews were hated because we believed in a different set of values, and that became justifiable. Then Jews were hated because of our religion, and that became justifiable by the highest authority at the time, which was the church. Then when the church fell out of favor, Jews were hated because of some scientific reason. And we had people like Wilhelm Marr who said, no, people who hate Jews hate them for the wrong reasons. I'm an academic. I'm an anti-Semite. I have a problem with Jews, and it is justifiable. And today, very much those same people, unfortunately we see in academia and across the world as well, they justify their hatred of Jews and say, well, no, it's because of some type of human rights violation, and we hold Israel to a completely different standard, but our hatred is justifiable. And that was empowered by the UN's anti-racism conference.
Can we ever pull this back, or do we just need to accept that anti-Semitism in one form or another, and right now it's about anti-Zionism, is always going to exist?
Unfortunately, I think yes. Anti-Semitism, as long as there are Jews in the world, Jews who will stand up proudly, acknowledge their Judaism, and do Jewish things, there will always be those who will hate us and justify their hate for us. On the other side, and I think this is more important, part of our role today is to stand up as Jews, be counted as Jews, and challenge the lies and the hatred as lies and hatred wherever we see them.
It is indeed obviously our job, and we do need to keep doing it. The question as well, I guess, is, has the United Nations learnt anything in the last 20 years?
No, they have not. The United Nations, for a short period of time, realized they may have taken their anti-Israel stance too far. They even changed up the then the Human Rights Commission, but it was very quickly replaced by a new Human Rights Commission that focused uniquely on Israel. Even the Durban Conference, after it was a dismal failure, rather than acknowledge it, the United Nations claimed that they were reforming it and sent a new delegation of UN officials to prepare a new conference that was sponsored by Iran. So the United Nations, unfortunately, has not learned. It's gone in the completely opposite direction. But as Jews, Israelis, and Zionists, we've learned. And we've learned that it's important to challenge the anti-Israel narratives, to challenge the lies, and to challenge anti-Semitism.
You know, I often wonder, because we all live in our own, we create our own echo chambers. So when I think about the United Nations, I know unequivocally that they have an incredibly strong anti-Israel and therefore anti-Jewish bias. But how does it look outside of our own echo chamber? What do other people think? Do they think that the United Nations is an unbiased body fighting for human rights? Or do they see it with the same skepticism, or maybe a different level of skepticism than we might?
Unfortunately, everywhere outside of places like South Africa, the United Nations is viewed with incredible skepticism. Also because of their anti-Israel bias, but also because of the rampant corruption that goes on, the amount of waste that the United Nations is involved in, the various United Nations missions around the world that have been completely ineffective at stopping hostilities, that in some places the United Nations' sole job is to provide food, even there they're unable to. The only place the United Nations actually seems to get their act together is when they condemn Israel. So, no, the United Nations, unfortunately, has been very ineffective and is viewed skeptically around the world.
If the United Nations had to disappear today, tomorrow, would the world be better off or worse off for it?
Unfortunately, I think even this highly problematic and biased body is important because, at the very least, it gives world leaders the opportunity and the place to talk together. But it needs significant reform and change.
So how does that happen? In 20 years, we haven't seen much of an improvement with regard to the focus on human rights. We see this over and over again for a short time with Donald Trump, maybe with Nikki Haley as the American representative. We saw the challenge, them challenging the United Nations over and over again. But now we seem to be back to where we started. Or has there been an improvement in any way?
There has been. And I think every step of the way, every challenge is another brick in this terrible wall that the United Nations has built against us. We have fantastic organizations, including the various organizations in South Africa that are standing up for the Jewish community, that are standing up for the Zionist community. Internationally, we see growing support and consolidation within the pro-Israel, pro-Zionist community. And slowly, yes, the United Nations is realizing they can't do this. A great example would be the 20th anniversary Durban conference is coming up. Mm-hmm. The United States has pulled out. Canada has pulled out. The UK will probably pull out. Even the European countries that are going to be there, many of them are going, and they're not necessarily going to participate. They're going to send lower level representatives because across the world they realize the United Nations needs significant change and its anti-Israel stance can't stand. And part of the success is the constant work that is done by the Zionist and Jewish organizations around the world.
So the 20th anniversary is coming up and the United Nations is commemorating this, but it seems, from what you're saying, it's going to be a poorly attended affair in terms of legitimate countries.
It will be poorly attended and we will see to make up for the poor attendance, we will see significant levels of noise from the anti-Israel crowd about how wonderful they are and important they are. And we will see the far left organizations will make a lot of noise. The already delegitimized human rights groups that unfortunately have taken on anti-Israel stances and are no longer the proud organizations they want with, they will make a lot of noise at the United Nations. Many of the developing countries who have no relations with Israel and who are in dire economic straits will speak about how wonderful the United Nations is. But at the end of the day, not much will change within the United Nations, and this conference will be forgotten about within a few months.
So interesting. I keep wondering, is it better to go there and stand up against it, or just delegitimize it by not even attending and let the worst happen or be said? It's a fascinating thought. I need to leave it there. Sean Sachs, thank you for chatting to us, as always, senior research at NGO Monitor.